This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's reside here on the evening edition, 6:24 p.m. Earlier, we were talking about the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto, whether it should be followed strictly or treated like a guidebook. I've got a few callers here on the line who want to share their thoughts with us. If you want to chime in, 0377109000. We've got Victor on the line. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good evening.
How are you, Victor?
I'm well.
So tell me, what do you think about this manifesto scenario? Are you quite strict with the interpretation, or are you, you know, treating it as a guidebook, as Tun Mahathir said?
I worship the ground that Tun walk on.
Right.
But on this issue, I have to respectfully disagree with Tun.
Right.
I think the promise, the problem with this promise breaking is on not so much the breaking, but on the making. If in doubt, the promise.
Right.
So, I mean, if you promise first, then to hell with the consequence, or to hell with whether you can fulfill it or not. I mean, that is the theory of the ends justify the means, which I don't subscribe.
Victor, do you think there were any particular promises that were made, you know, just because of the lure and the attraction of that promise, rather than whether they could actually deliver it or not? Are there any particular promises that you think that they just are concerned about and they can't deliver?
No, nothing in particular. But I think, I mean, if the promises are too easily made, then chances are it might not be fulfilled. But it doesn't matter, the promisor is somebody that I wholeheartedly admire, I worship, but once that person did that, my emotional bank account with that person, is the balance is going to reduce a lot.
Oh, the credit is not as high as it was after May 9th, perhaps.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because you can take 20 years to build a reputation and then just take maybe 1 or 2 days to demolish everything.
Yeah, this is true. Victor, thank you very much for calling
thank
in.
You.
Much appreciated. We've got Azim next on the line. Hi, Azim.
Yes, hi, Ezra. Good afternoon, good evening.
Yes, tell us what you think.
Okay, I think I'm going to get a backlash by Victor and probably other...
Go for it, though. Go for it. You've got a couple of minutes.
Okay. We are now living in a social media world, no matter what age we are. So we are always on with instant gratification. Okay? The problem with us is we want everything to be quick, to be fast, to be expedient. To me, right? Tun's explanation of it being a guide rather than a Bible is probably... I don't really agree about it also, but to me, as long as the government of the day put some effort in to at least fulfill some percentage of the promises that they've given during the election period, to me, that's pretty okay.
So as long as they're treating it, they're addressing it, and they're chipping away at the problem, that's good enough for you?
Yes, for me, because it's like your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we do sometimes get gifts from our parents, right? And then they promise certain things when we get certain grades or whatever. Some of the type of promises is instant. We ask about it, you can get instantly, but some of it, perhaps we have to fulfill certain conditions or we need to do certain things. Then only we can get it from our parents. I think it's the same as the government, because they have a lot of priorities to on their plate. I mean, to be fair to them, they have been the opposition for the umpteen years. So now they are like so-called learning, or they are now they only know that the government handling is a bit difficult. Granted that Tun Mahathir has been government for 22 years and came to retirement 15 years. I hope as a wise old man, as a senior politician, he tries to improve the situation and probably make it better for us all.
All right, Azim, thank you very much for calling in. Much appreciated on that comment. Folks, stay tuned to the Evening Edition. It's BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
How are you? So tell us what you think about this manifesto.
Yeah. To me, it is not. It's neither a promise or a statement. It is more of the intent of the government to do something. But then there are many factors to be considered here, especially the financial condition of the country. Mm. You know, there are many other factors that the mess that's been left by the previous government, I guess, you know, that has to be cleaned up. And then what Sun was saying is giving a priority to those that need to be done faster, you know, or needs to be done first, and then followed by all the other things that have been said in the manifesto, you know. To me, 100 days, it's not possible to do everything in 100 days.
Right.
As long as things are being done, the structural reforms, particularly the structural reform, and the put the country back on the right track in economic-wise, you know, and bring back, you know, the vigor to the market, the financial market, that is
your priority.
Priority, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Focusing on the manifesto itself.
Yeah.
There are many things you can put for the election. Yeah. You know, many things you can say. But to do that, we need to see the real situation of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what I guess they have been saying. You know, we didn't realize the state of our finances until they took over.
That's right. 03-771-09000 if you want to chime in on the conversation. We've got Cheryl next on the line. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Long time no here. Tell us what you think.
It just confirmed my hunch that I had before the election. I was saying that I would vote for the lesser evil among the two, so I was like, yeah. So it's just I voted for the lesser group, so it's all right then. Because the other group right there has been asking about the question, about the promises, so it's a big group asking about. I have these things about my son asking me, is it, Aya, can you buy me things? You promise me to buy things. You know what? Okay. When the son asks you to do that, I mean, the only escape you can get through is that. Oh, remember, you were supposed to do something, but you didn't do anything. You didn't do it. You didn't clean up the room, so I'm not going to buy you that thing.
Right.
So that's the thing now. The one that's asking the question. This is just, I don't know, I was watching the parliament today. I was like, I can't believe the guy was like telling lies before. He's asking people, he's asking people not to trust the other guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of thing. So it's just that, yeah. So I confirmed my theory that I've just voted for lesser evil, one or two of them.
All right. So, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Cheryl. Thank you. It's interesting. The example that Cheryl just used, the parent and the child, was actually the same example that another caller used as well. It's quite interesting about, you know, the promises that you've made, whether you deliver on them, what sort of example does it set if you don't fulfill those promises, and what is the effect of those dynamics with, I guess, you know, in this case, with the populace.
I would ask whether or not you feel the same way, whether or not the parent-child dynamic is a good comparison. I wouldn't think so, but, you know, 03-771-09000.
We've got Banu next on the line. Hi, Banu.
Hello. Hi, Caroline.
Hi. What are your thoughts?
Okay, for me, initially when I heard Dr. Mahathir's Tun's statement, I was okay because, you know, I was thinking that, you know, we shouldn't be too rigid and all that. But we were most of us were desperate, right? I mean, like, we wanted to have a change of government and all that.
We were desperate.
No,
yes.
That's the best thing. So we have had analysts.
We really wanted to save Malaysia and all, you know, of course. But having said that, you know, I really do want that, like, you know, Pakatan to take it easy and think, like, you know, just giving empty promises and to just win the election. That's not enough. But of course, you know, coming, you know, to, I mean, once they get to rule the country, they discover a lot of things and all that. Which is understandable. But then, they shouldn't, like, you know, immediately say, no, it's just a guide and things like that. I mean, more responsibility and also, I mean, taking the ownership to probably, you know, to channel what are the challenges and things like that. Of course, they have delivered some, which is the main thing, the GST and all that. Yeah, I mean, there should be a proper transparency in terms of, you know, what can be delivered. Or maybe, you know, first 100 days not applicable, but then within 120 days, maybe. Yeah.
Yep, fair enough. Banu, thank you very much for calling in and sharing that comment with us.
Your takeaway?
Well, my takeaway is, you know, she articulated a truth there that sort of caught me off guard, that we were desperate.
You did the thing. So we have
there
had...
There was a desperation in the air.
We have had analysts, we have had research centers comment on, you know, how we were voting, we were united voting against a person, we were voting against corruption. There were so many things
that
came
up. She brought it down to a nugget. You know what?
We were desperate.
We were desperate. It is the best analysis I've heard.
Oh, dear.
It's fantastic. Thank you very much for calling in, Banu. Kevin is next on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi, hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Tell us what you think about this manifesto and you know, what is your view on whether you need to stick to those promises or whether it's just a guide?
Okay, well, to be frank, when I went to the voting polls, I have actually no idea what was on the manifesto.
All right. Okay, so you're voting independent of the manifesto, okay?
Okay, yes, because, I mean, I guess maybe I'm a bit of a pessimist. You know, we're so used to getting all these promises anyway.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly fulfilled for, like, you know, the last how many elections.
Yeah.
So to me, for both sides, when they were providing their own manifestos, it was, I just pretty much just brush it off. You know, it's like I'm going to vote it based on the current situation and who I expect to get, you know, the country running, rather than what each government is or each party is promising.
Right, the manifesto just didn't matter anyway. Thank you very much. 03-7710-9000. Tell us what you think. I guess, are there specific areas in the manifesto that are particularly important to you? Give us a call and let us know.
We'll take a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more calls from our audience. It's BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's Caroline and Ezra. We're talking about the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto. A lot has been discussed in Parliament as to whether the government is able to keep up with some of the promises that they were campaigning on for GE14. We're taking your calls. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Our next caller is Mrs. Umpy. Hi, Mrs. Umpy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing good.
Well, thank you.
What do you have to say about this?
Okay, as far as the manifesto is concerned, really, we've got a new government, but all the people there in the various departments, and are they all new? No.
No.
You can't sack everybody. Mm-hmm. So we're dealing with people who belong to the old regime, and we're doing the best. The man at the helm is 93 years old. How impatient is everybody? Mm. What if everyone in this country makes an effort to really change for the better, we will move faster.
Mrs. Umpy, are you feeling optimistic that that's going to happen?
I am a diehard optimist.
Yeah.
I can vouch for you. Yes, she is.
I am a diehard optimist. And I think I go around and I see people who would never talk to you before talking. I went to the bank the other day. I came out and I was limping, and the man said, "You know, you're limping. Why? What happened?" He stopped and told me what to eat to get rid of my limp. Now, this would never have happened before.
Yeah. Are you sure, Mrs. Sabi?
Let me tell you, there the mood is different. But there are so many problems that we are facing. And don't forget, the new government, a lot of the faces are new and who've never had much experience running a government. So give them a little time. Manifesto, whatever it was in the manifesto, we have to do our best to get it done. Mm-hmm. People are impatient. I mean, when you get married, dealing with a new wife is bad enough. What
is
your thought to deal with
a
new
government? All right, Mrs. Umpy. Thank you very much for calling in. We very much appreciate it. We're going to move on to our next caller. In fact, it's our previous caller who we couldn't get through earlier. It's Jing. Hi, Jing.
Hi, Hi, guy.
Hey.
The line was bad just now.
It's all good. Tell us what you think.
I think the manifesto is just a list of the things that they can do for us. You know, I mean, like what your previous caller said, you know, we were actually desperate to see all the stories on Instagram or Nikadila, you know, stuff like that. You know, I think if you can give the previous government 60 years to govern the country, why not just give them a bit more time to, you know, see what they can do for us? And if they actually can't do like what they said, we as citizens can, you know, have the power to change the government again. So I don't think this is a really big issue, but I really think we should give them more time.
All right. Thank you very much for calling back, Jing. We very much appreciate that. Our next caller is Arif. Hi, Arif.
Hi, Selamat
Petang. Selamat Petang. Tell us what you think about this issue as to whether the Pakatan Harapan needs to stick to their manifesto or whether you think that they're breaking promises now.
I feel that, you know, with the current generation or the current situation around the globe, it's the idea that instant gratification is the way to go.
Yeah.
And I feel that it's quite problematic because obviously we have to have, we need patience in terms of understanding the manifesto and also its implementation.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went to a forum recently and I brought up the question of the 50% representation of females in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it quite interesting. Sorry, there's a higher truck.
No problem.
Oh, stay safe.
And okay, yes. 30% representation for females in the cabinet. I think, you know, it's not, the number has not been reached. And a lot of people are actually harping on that fact. So I brought up the question and the answer or the response given was that it seemed that there was no fit in terms of personnel and also right. responsibility. So I think it's quite interesting because, you know, obviously when we talk about the manifesto not being... implemented or you know, the promises not being kept, I think it's quite interesting because sometimes the circumstances doesn't allow for that.
Yeah, I agree it's interesting simply because even with the promises that are being kept with regards to GST, we're not entirely pleased with the real outcome of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're pleased yeah. with abolishing it, but the actual net effect on businesses and people, I mean, you know, there's a debate about the effectiveness of it.
Yeah, and with regards to GST, I mean, some of the most successful countries in the world have high percentage of GST.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems that probably there has to be some recalculation efforts or, you know, but it's difficult because obviously people generally across the board they don't really have a proper understanding of GST or SST. So, yep.
Thank you very much.
Time will tell.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you very much for calling in, Arif. We're moving on to our next caller. Kendrick is on the line. Hi, Kendrick.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Tell us what you think.
So I think when it comes to voting for a political party or a politician, right, there's two things that really matter. One is their vision of like where they want to bring the country towards. And the next one is their ability to pull that off, right? So the manifesto, I view it as what they want, what they see, like where the what they want to see the country move towards. So that's the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And like by breaking promises, I feel that reflects badly on the second part, which is the ability to get things done, right? So like it can be in terms of like setting deadlines or sensible expectations. So I think like by if you feel that honoring the manifesto is it's okay, then it really just like, you know, it's a bad signal towards your ability, right?
Mm.
And also like if say you have a compelling reason behind like why the promise is not being fulfilled, then I guess the next logical question to be asking is why was promise made in the first place, and also what are the next step, right? So if you can't get it done within a certain date, are you still like planning to get it done, or was that because it was just a desperate ways of getting votes and you don't truly believe that to be important? So I guess those are the questions that we should be asking.
Excellent. And I like you a lot.
Well done, Kendrick. Thank you very much for calling in there. We're moving on to our next caller. I suspect it's Paul Jambunathan, one of our regular guests here at BFM. Hi there.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, BFM buddies from Malaysia. Good evening.
Good evening, Paul. What do you think of the manifestos?
I'd like to point out a little difference. A manifesto is different from a promise. A promise is a contract.
Mm-hmm.
A manifesto is a statement of intent and direction and motives.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they've actually destroyed their manifesto per se. Our promises can be broken. Now, if I say I'm going to clean out a storeroom and I open the door to my manifesto is to clean out a storeroom and I open the door and I see a hall full of rubbish, I may not be able to keep to my timeline, but I certainly will slowly actuate it and see that I finish it because that's my manifesto.
Yeah.
So I think people are mixing up this whole issue, emotional issue. It's a very emotional affair between manifesto versus promises, broken versus delayed, uncovering of truths and tasks and hurdles ahead, which they never saw before.
Mm.
My profession is being an agent of change, and I think change is on the way. So I don't think the manifesto has been desecrated or compromised in any way yet.
Mm. Yet, and I think that's the key thing, isn't that, Paul? Because
Time.
And would you acknowledge that if it comes to a point in time, whatever time that may be, where there's no indication that real change is happening, what does the public do then?
People power. We now believe, Malaysia believes, that each citizen has power. And each MP has the power too, because we put them there. So it comes back down to the people to make the decision collectively. Mm.
All right, Paul, thank you very much for calling us, and we very much appreciate it. Moving on to our next caller, Zaki is on the line. Hi, Zaki.
Hi, Zaki.
Hi.
Good evening. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, this is about the manifesto.
Yes.
You know, I really want to know how many people actually voted for PH because of the manifesto.
Because of the manifesto itself, right?
Yeah, well, a few of our callers have said that they didn't look at it at all.
Yeah,
because I've got a feeling that you know, the people had decided who they wanted to vote for even before the manifesto were out.
Mm.
And then, you know, I feel there's a bit of insincerity in terms of there are many people who are tracking the manifestos. They call it manifesto watch.
Yeah.
They're not tracking what has been achieved. They are tracking what has not been achieved. Or
right.
They can really achieve.
Right.
And when I look at their sort of the group page, and I sense that they didn't really vote for PH. So it's like the opposition trying to undermine what the government is doing. So is there really a sincerity when we are talking about the manifestos, or we just want to find bullets to shoot down whatever the government is doing?
All right. Interesting thoughts there, Zaki. Thank you very much for calling in. Much appreciated. Moving on to our next caller, Philip Koo is on the line. Hi, Philip.
Hi.
Good evening.
Yes, Philip here. Good evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to talk about something about what I think about the manifesto and the promises.
Go ahead.
Basically, to me, like some of the callers, I agree with them that, you know, now the new government is new, you know, and especially Mahathir. Tun Mahathir is...
Tun Mahathir is not new, Philip.
Tun Dr. Mahathir is working with the so-called the ex-opposition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they had not been working together before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were enemies, so-called, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are working together, and I just feel that...
Miracles can happen?
Yeah, it's fair to give them a little more time, especially now... They found out all so much worms under the carpet, and then also so much dirt, and they have to clean up.
Right, Philip, we've been talking about giving the government a little bit more time. Now, I know that you don't have all the information. Neither do I have all the information about how much fixing it needs to be done. How much time more would you give to the current government to fulfill all of their promises?
How much time is acceptable?
Yeah.
How much more time? Say about 1 to 2 months more.
One to two months.
I thought you were going to go for 1 to 2 years, actually.
Yeah, I was going to go for a year and a half. Interesting. All right.
Yeah, maybe 3 months like that. But I mean, about another 100 days, perhaps.
Wow.
At the most.
Okay. All right, Philip. Okay. Thank you very much. You know, that is interesting about our perspective of time. Our final caller.
Generosity.
Our final caller is Go. Hi, Go.
Hello.
Very quickly, before we head to the 7 o'clock news, what do you have to say?
All right. First of all, 100-day is actually unreasonable for politics. I think even for company, 100-day policy is actually unreasonable because no politics can move that fast.
Yep.
Second of all, promise is always over-promised because even the great psychology will tell you that we tend to over-promise things because it just makes things nicer to hear.
Yeah, and 100 is a nice number, yeah.
Yeah, and the third thing is that this kind of strategy, right, made by 2M is actually to gauge public response. So, as they will have someone to monitor the public response, if the public response team doesn't care, right, to have one strategy, it probably don't seem to have a very negative response, she will have definitely have another strategy.
Right.
So I think she have a minimal three strategy in mind. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much for calling in, Gord. Okay. That's terrific.
We're heading straight to the messages. Adi sent this text in saying, so it's okay to lie to win elections by selling promises that cannot be fulfilled? Come on. Zulkarnain says...
That also sounds like really what a lot of politicians do, just, you know, give promises to get elected.
Zulkarnain says, the question now is whether or not the Pakatan Harapan government knew beforehand that these promises were unachievable, but went ahead with them to win the election anyway. Jason says, I'm glad that Tunem has a practical view on manifestos. Guru says, hey guys, a promise is a promise and an intent is something different altogether. The politicians need to have some integrity. Even this new bunch is starting to show their true colours. If you can't keep the promise, just come out and say it. Stop trying to wordsmith your way out of this. It looks pathetic. And Kelvin, who says, as long as the difference or variation from the original manifesto is an improvement or a better option, I believe it's acceptable.
Right. All right. Nadira Matrang has the 7 o'clock news that's coming up shortly after this on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.